Welcome back to The Truth About the Market, where we cut through the noise and talk about what's really happening in aviation. Not the hype, not the headlines, just the truth. I'm your host, Jason Zilberbrand. I'm president of VREF. Over my career, I've appraised just about everything that flies, from Pipers to Gulfstreams, for clients that range from the FAA and SpaceX to celebrities, billionaires, global financial institutions, and some of the largest aircraft fleets in the world. I've also owned, operated, bought, and sold my own aircraft, so I understand these issues not just academically, but operationally and financially. And just as important, this podcast is sponsor-free. There are no paid opinions, no advertisers to appease, and no incentive to soften reality. What you hear here is unfiltered because aviation doesn't reward spin and markets punish misinformation. And if you're new to the show or tuning in for the first time, let me quickly explain why this platform exists and why so many market participants rely on it. This podcast was built around one core objective: to analyze aircraft market without bias, without brokerage spin, and without manufacturer narratives influencing the conversation. Because when you strip aviation down to its financial core, aircraft are capital assets first. They're financed, they're depreciated, they're stress tested, they're underwritten by lenders and insurers, and their values move based on measurable forces, not marketing language. That's what we focus on here. Quarter by quarter, we evaluate real transaction behavior, inventory flow, financing conditions, maintenance exposure, and residual risk when translating market data into valuation direction. So today's episode is our first quarter market update, and more importantly, our forward look at where aircraft values are headed as we move deeper into 2026. Now, if you've been following our quarterly reports or listening to prior episodes, you already know the tone has been shifting. It's not negative, it's not euphoric, but it is disciplined. And that word discipline is the most accurate descriptor of today's aviation market. We're not in a downturn, we're not in a surge, but we are in a state of normalization. And that creates winners and losers depending on aircraft age and its technology and the financing structure, as well as its life cycle exposure. So today, we're going to break this episode into a couple core segments. First, aircraft values and transaction data. Secondly, we're going to look at capital markets and buyer psychology. And finally, where values are headed as we move through 26. So let's get into it. So Q1 value data and transaction intelligence. You know, let's just get right into the numbers because this is where the story moves from narrative to measurable reality. The headline takeaway from our Q1 analysis is straightforward but incredibly important. Aircraft values are no longer moving in a unified cycle. For years, market participants could speak broadly about the jet market or the business aviation market as if values and the entire asset class moved in tandem. That's no longer the case and probably hasn't been for some time. Segmentation has widened materially, and valuation outcomes are now diverging based on a combination of four underlying variables: age, technology, maintenance positioning, and financial exposure. Understanding how those four forces intersect is critical to understanding where values are holding and where they're eroding. Age-based value segmentation. So let's start with the clearest dividing line in today's market, aircraft age. Because late model aircraft, those that are new to 7 years old, remain the most insulated segment of the global fleet. And the reasons are structural, not cyclical. OEM production backlogs continue pushing buyers into the pre-owned market as immediate lift solutions. Delivery slots are stretching 3 to 5 years, are forcing operators to source aircraft that already exist. That demand compression is sustaining resale strength. Add to that low total time, transferable engine program coverage, modern avionics, integrated connectivity suites, minimal near-term capital expenditure exposure, and you have an asset class that aligns almost perfectly with current buying underwriting priorities. Liquidity remains high. Marketing times remain compressed, and values across constrained segments are stable, in some cases still appreciating modestly where availability is exceptionally tight. And as we move now into the next category, which is slightly older aircraft, those 8 to 15 years of age, that's where we see the transitional valuation plateau. Midlife aircraft present a far more nuanced valuation profile. At a headline level, pricing appears flat. but that surface stability, mass widening, dispersion underneath. Because this is the age band where underwriting becomes surgical. Aircraft begin entering their first major capital cycles. They're going to need engine overhauls, landing gear overhauls, interior refurbishment, and avionics modernization. And buyers are modeling those life cycle costs with far greater precision than in prior cycles. An aircraft with enrolled engine programs on 100% prepaid programs, freshly completed inspections, updated interiors, and full modern connectivity suites are going to continue transacting with relative stability. But aircraft approaching heavy maintenance exposure, particularly without engine program coverage, are experiencing pricing pressure, and midlife value today is no longer age dependent. It's maintenance dependent. And that shift is one of the most important underwriting evolutions we're seeing in 2026. This episode is brought to you by VREF, the trusted name in aircraft valuations and appraisals. Whether you fly a piston single or manage a business jet fleet, VREF keeps you grounded in data that matters. Visit VREF.com to know what your aircraft is truly worth before you buy, sell, finance, or insure. So let's talk about the accelerated depreciating class for a few minutes. And that's aircraft that are 20 plus years of age. Because this legacy segment is where depreciation is reaccelerating beyond historical curve and assumptions. That's being driven by conversion life cycle pressures. A lot of it is due to the fact that these aircraft are going to need avionics modernization, engine overhauls, cabin refurbishment, and OEM parts that probably don't exist. And in many large cabin aircraft, the modernization program alone can exceed seven figures. And that's going to force buyers to evaluate whether total invested basis approaches that of significantly newer alternative aircraft. That's changing acquisition psychology. More on that later. Buyers are asking a very simple question, though. Why invest heavily in aging platforms when younger aircraft offer superior capability, superior connectivity, and some residual value protection? That question is repricing the legacy fleet in real time. So let's shift from asset segmentation to market activity, because this is where capital discipline becomes visible. Listings brought to market, comparing the first 2 months year over year. In 2025, 1,254 aircraft were listed, and in 2026, we've had 1,068. That's a 14.8 or 15% decline in new inventory inflow to the market. On its face, contracting inventory is typically value supportive. Fewer aircraft available, tighter supply dynamics. But listings are only half the story. Let's look at sold transactions, because transaction velocity tells a more disciplined capital narrative. In 2025, year-to-date, there were 1,921 aircraft sold. Year-to-date for 26, only 1,091. That's a 43% drop in closings for the year. Deals are going to still happen. Deals still are happening. Demand hasn't disappeared. But transactions are closing way more selectively, often with extended diligence timelines tied to financing, underwriting, and maintenance exposure modeling. And the divergence between inventory contraction and sharper sales slowdown is critical to interpret correctly. It's not a demand collapse. It's an underwriting discipline. So let's look at the full year comparative data now, because it's going to add further clarity. And year-over-year transaction trends show the following. Large jets are up 6.2%, mid-sized jets are up 5%, light jets are up 11%, and turboprops are down 6%. And that pretty much aligns with what I see in the appraisal world day-to-day. Light jets led the growth, driven by owner-operator turbine migration, charter absorption, and improved automation accessibility. Turboprops, meanwhile, experienced selective softness, influenced by financing sensitivity and cross-shopping into entry turbine platforms. In other words, we saw a ton of buyers who normally would go into single and twin engine turboprops go into entry-level light jets. And finally, looking at model-level transaction activity, it's going to reveal where the liquidity is really concentrated. And so the most actively traded aircraft are as follows. So Citation Latitude, Phenom 300, VisionJet G2 Plus, and both the Pilatus NG and the NGX. And there are different missions and there's different cabin classes, but there's one common denominator. All of these aircraft have modern integrated avionics and mission flexibility. And aircraft that align with current technology expectations while maintaining operational versatility are clearing the market faster with stronger pricing resilience. So when you step back and interpret the Q1 data holistically, three foundational realities emerge. One, supply remains constrained at the top end. Two, capital discipline is slowing transaction velocity. And three, liquidity is concentrating in technology current aircraft. Buyers today are underwriting lifecycle costs, not an acquisition price alone. And that shift is what continues driving value dispersion across the global fleet as we move through the year. So let's zoom out now, and let's talk about capital markets, and let's talk about buyer psychology, because after all, we're going to talk about money. Because in today's environment, financing isn't just a transactional component of aircraft acquisition. It's central to valuation modeling itself, how buyers access capital, what that capital costs, and how lenders underwrite risk is now directly influencing asset pricing, liquidity, and transaction velocity across the entire fleet. So interest rates are changing buyer behavior. It's no longer the 2015 through 2021 capital environment. For more than a decade of ultra-low interest rates, suppressed the visibility of capital cost, leverage was inexpensive, carry was manageable, financing structure often played a secondary role to asset selection, and that dynamic has absolutely reset. Today's buyers are underwriting the full economic exposure of ownership, not just the acquisition price, but the total lifecycle cost of capital deployed. They're going to evaluate the following: cost of capital over the hold period, exit residual risk, maintenance exposure timing, and cash participation strategy. And that shift is reshaping acquisition behavior in measurable ways. We're seeing larger equity down payments to reduce carry interest. We're also seeing tighter lender advance rates. We're seeing shorter amortization structures in certain borrower profiles, and far greater technical and financial diligence scrutiny. Every bank is going through the exact same set of issues here. It's systemic normalization, a return to disciplined underwriting after an extended period of capital abundance. So let's talk about the hidden cost variable. Tariffs. Layered into financing exposure is another cost driver that often flies under the radar. This whole tariff conversation is absolutely insane. I mean, every day it seems to change from one number to the next. Import duties on foreign manufactured aircraft and components create real-time acquisition cost pressure once aircraft cross into U.S. customs jurisdiction. And because those duties accrue immediately, they influence not just the purchase decisions, but transaction timing and delivery structuring. So sophisticated buyers are now going to evaluate the country of origin and their exposure to tariffs, that delivery sequencing strategy, and then a pre-import ownership structure. Because tariffs are not just geopolitical policy headlines, they're acquisition math embedded directly into the total invested basis and cost of a carry model. And, you know, there's also a more subtle capital trend developing beneath the surface of transaction activity. Ownership capital sources are evolving. Historically, aircraft acquisition demand was dominated by industrial wealth, manufacturing principals, energy sector operators, logistics and infrastructure firms, real estate developers. That cohort remains active, but it's now being joined and in some segments supplemented by capital originating from technology liquidity events and private equity distributions and digital asset wealth cycles. This introduces higher behavior into acquisition timing, where buying activity can accelerate during liquidity expansions and moderate during contraction phases. Operationally, it also influences utilization strategy. We're seeing more hybrid ownership structures than ever before emerge: charter enrollment programs, leaseback participation, fractional revenue offsets. Revenue generation is increasingly being modeled alongside operational cost, as well as ownership. And transforming aircraft from pure lift assets into blended transportation and income platforms. And that shift is becoming an embedded component of acquisition underwriting, and that is a trend as we move deeper into 2026. Speaking of 2026, so where's the plane going to land? Where are values headed? We've talked about transaction data. We've talked about capital markets. Now the question everybody wants answered: where is the market actually going? And more specifically, where are aircraft values headed as we move deeper into the year? So first, it's important to recognize that the foundational support structures underneath the aviation market remain firmly in place. Several macro forces continue to support asset values. OEM production backlogs are strong. There's limited late model secondary market supply. There's a rising global utilization trend. and corporate globalization demand is back. And backlogs alone are acting as a valuation shock absorber to some degree. Because when delivery slots for a new aircraft extend 3, 4, 5, 6 years into the future, buyers who need lift today have only one option. That's the pre-owned market, and that means premium pricing. That demand compression is sustaining pricing resilience, particularly in new aircraft categories. Large cabin, super midsize segments remain the most structurally insulated, supported by multinational corporate lift requirements, sovereign transport demand, and long-range mission expansion. And you'll see that in the market updates reflected in how a lot of the long-range aircraft went up in value this past quarter. These aircraft are not discretionary luxuries. They are global business tools. Let's not forget that. And that distinction continues to protect value stability at the top end of the market. And interest rates are easing slightly. So, you know, let's talk a little bit about capital costs, because that is where forward momentum is beginning to build. While we are no longer operating in a zero rate environment, interest rates have begun trending modestly lower from peak values. They're, I think at this point, they're at the lowest point they've been in 4 or 5 years. And that shift really does matter, not because it's going to create an exuberance, but because it restores acquisition flexibility. Lower borrowing costs improve monthly carry modeling, debt service coverage ratios, residual risk tolerance, and financing accessibility. So when capital becomes incrementally more affordable, transaction friction goes down. Buyers who were previously on the sidelines, they begin to re-engage. And those deals that stalled in underwriting, well, they're going to begin to close again. It doesn't create a surge, but it does support transaction confidence. And confidence supports value stability. There's also a seasonal demand tailwind, and it's cyclical. And, you know, it's entering the equation. And it's the one that the aviation market experiences every year, because we are approaching peak flying season in the piston market. Historically, late spring and summer drive a measurable increase in acquisition activity, because aircraft are not theoretical assets. They're operational tools. Don't forget that. Executives don't want to miss summer board travel. Charter operators want lift online during peak utilization months. Private owners want to take delivery before those windows close to travel. So utilization drives the urgency, and the urgency drives the transactions. So seasonality alone tends to create a near-term demand tailwind as we move through the second quarter into the third. If you're tired about guessing about aircraft values, try the new VREF online, real-time data, quarterly updates, and over 900 models at your fingertips. From residual value forecasts to depreciation trends, it's the platform trusted by every lender, insurance company, broker, and buyer worldwide. Subscribe today at VREF.com and start making decisions based on facts, not feelings, and please, not AI slop. Okay, now let's break forward value expectations down by aircraft markets, because segmentation remains the defining valuation theme of this cycle. So we're going to start with the late model aircraft. Aircraft with the past decade of manufacturer remains the best position for value stability. In other words, if it's newer, under warranty particularly, it's going to be hot. In constrained segments, particularly large cabin and super midsize aircraft markets, we continue to see stable to modest appreciation dynamics. And that's because the markets are super tight. There's no availability. These aircraft align most closely with buyer expectations, and that alignment is going to sustain the liquidity in this segment of the market for some time. I don't think anything's going to change, especially as we move through the year. And I believe that towards the end of the year, you're probably going to see another bump in value, because there's just so few of these aircraft for sale. The midlife aircraft market, that 8 to 15 year segment, is still going to remain flat. We talked about that. Although I do think it's going to continue to see pressure, particularly because as the aircraft continue to depreciate due to age and outstanding maintenance inspections. And aircraft with fresh inspections or modernized cabins, they're still going to perform relatively well. But remember, as aircraft approach those heavy capital events, we're going to continue to see massive depreciation, because people are going to have to get out in front of that, price it aggressively if they want it to sell. So maintenance status, not age, is going to define a lot of the value performance. In the legacy aircraft, those that are 20 years or older, it's really going to come down to each individual case by case, because If you've got the upgrades done to your avionics and the aircraft has had relatively recent cabin refurbishments and there's time left on the engines, then that means that there's time left in the market as well. But if any of those things are gone, you're probably facing scrap or salvage at that point. And they're going to force buyers to compare total invested costs versus seeking out a newer alternative and borrowing more money from the bank to support it. The turboprop market is going to remain relevant, but we're seeing selective softness, and I think it's kind of across the board, single engines and twins. Automation increases, single pilot turbine accessibility expansions. A lot of buyers are migrating up into like jet platforms, and that's because the pricing and the accessibility is there, especially for those older airframes. That dynamic is creating the modest value pressure in certain turboprop segments. That's going to continue, especially for aircraft that are facing engine overhauls. I believe that you're going to continue to see depreciation there. So a final thought about market psychology. So let's close on a sentiment, because psychology drives liquidity just as much as capital fundamentals. There's a narrative circulating in some corners of the market that aviation is entering a downturn. That data simply doesn't support that conclusion. We're not in a contraction. We are in a very mature market, and the inventory has risen from historic pandemic lows, and it's going to remain below long-term structural averages. But financing is available. It's disciplined. Buyers are present, but they're analytical. And analytical buyers create rational markets. Rational markets create pricing transparency. And transparent markets create durable value frameworks. So as we move through the year, the outlook is best described not as bullish, not as bearish, but as structurally stable. Supported at the top end, selective in the middle, and repricing for older aircraft. Disciplined markets aren't fragile, they're sustainable, and that's exactly the environment we're operating in today. So as we move through the year, here's the bottom line. New aircraft continue to outperform, supported by constrained supply, modern capability, and strong liquidity alignment. Older legacy fleets, meanwhile, are repricing to life cycle reality, where modernization costs, supportability, and capital exposure are now fully embedded into valuation. Capital costs are shaping acquisition strategy more than at any time in the past decade, influencing how buyers structure deals, how lenders underwrite risk, and how assets close. And technology is redefining liquidity, separating aircraft that meet next-gen expectations from those that require significant capital reinvestment. The market isn't weakening. It's evolving, folks. And those who understand segmentation, age, capability, financing structure, and maintenance positioning will be best positioned to navigate it successfully. I want to thank you for joining me on episode 26 of The Truth About the Market. If you enjoyed this episode, I appreciate you taking a moment to support the show. Please leave us a review, share the episode with a colleague or a client, and follow the podcast so you don't miss upcoming discussions on aviation finance and valuation risk and the macro forces shaping asset markets. Because remember, there's no sponsors, there's no ads, just data, just experience and perspective from over 30 years and inside the market and in the trenches. And remember, when you need accurate, defensible, and data-driven aircraft values, there's only one name in the industry to trust. That's VREF. Visit VREF.com to get started today. Thank you for listening. I'm Jason Zilberbrand, and this is The Truth About the Market. Until next time, fly safe and stay smart.